Hey, welcome. If I haven't had a chance to meet you, my name is Matt Farlow. I've got the privilege of serving here as one of the leaders at Reengage, and I'm really grateful that you guys are here. As Doug mentioned, thank you for trusting us with your Wednesday night. Whether you are coming in tonight and it's just been a series of really high highs, or maybe you're coming in tonight and it's been kind of a record of pretty low lows, I want you to know that you're in a good place, a place where you can be welcomed and you can work on your marriage together. So we're really grateful that you guys are here. Hey, how many of you guys have ever put together a piece of furniture that you bought at IKEA? Okay, maybe I should, by the look of the, let me actually ask the question differently. How many of you guys have never put together a piece of furniture from IKEA? One person, that's amazing. Okay, thank you for being honest, that's good. You're probably the lucky one, right? A few weeks ago, I had the privilege of moving one of my daughters to a new apartment, and that meant that we got to put together some furniture from IKEA. And you know what? It's just like Legos for adults, right? It's no big deal. They give you a bag of parts, they give you some tools, they give you some instructions, and all you gotta do is just follow the instructions step by step, and boom, just in a few moments, you've got a chair or a bookcase or a table. It's just easy enough. Well, if you've been here to Reengage for more than just a couple of times, then you've probably picked up on the fact that this is not a place that's going to just give you a bunch of tips and tricks for your marriage. We're not here to sell you on some easy, you know, 1-2-3 process that's just going to output a perfect marriage every single time. Instead, Reengage is built on the fact that God is the one who invented marriage. He designed it, and in His Word, He's given us some instructions on how to live in and enjoy and build upon a healthy marriage that we can enjoy and can be fulfilling, strong, and healthy. Most of the time here on Wednesday nights, we have a couple that will come up and share their marriage story. And those stories are designed to do a couple of things. First, they deliver hope. They also remind couples that you're not alone when you struggle. And they give a picture of what it looks like for a couple to trust the Lord enough to follow His instructions with their lives and with their marriage. And it's a picture of what God can do when that couple does that. From time to time, we'll also mix in a short teaching that focuses on some of those instructions that God gives us and in his word. And tonight, that's what we're going to do. We're going to focus on a couple of those instructions that He's given to us, and we're going to specifically focus on some things that can really move the needle in your marriage, okay? Some of you guys in the back, video guys, could you put up a slide for us? If you guys have all seen this little image of a gas gauge in your car. Yeah, you've seen that, right? And so when we talk about the idea of moving the needle, what we're talking about is moving it from a place of emptiness to a place of fullness. Moving it from a place where you're stuck or discouraged or frustrated to a place where your marriage is healthy, where it's fulfilling, and where things are fun. And the things we're going to talk about tonight, each one of them has a basis in God's Word, and they'll really help you get moving in that direction. But here's the thing, just like that IKEA furniture, you can have the instructions, but you're going to have to do some work. You're going to have to work at it, and we'll talk about that tonight. Each of these things tonight I'm going to share first why it's helpful, also share why it's hard, and I'm going to try to get real practical and give you how to take a step in that direction. So why it's helpful, why it's hard, and how to take a step. Some of these things we're going to talk about, you guys are already doing. And if that's the case, fantastic. Keep it up. Others of them may be some things that you've never done before, or you did one time before, but you've kind of gotten out of the habit. And if that's the case, this is an opportunity to learn and grow. All right, so here's the first thing. The first thing that can help move the needle in your marriage is praying together with your spouse. All right, praying together with your spouse. Over and over in God's Word, we are invited to pray. And when we pray, we are bringing ourselves, our struggle, our needs before a God whose love for us and his power to help are without limit. I love the way Hebrews chapter 4 captures this. It says, "Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." So good. And you know, the things that bring us distress, the things that make us anxious, this Lord who loves us invites us to bring those to him as well. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, coming back to that image of putting together some IKEA furniture, there have been times in the past where I've been working on some furniture and I've taken the instructions and just kind of tossed them away and thought, I don't need those. I can do it myself. And I start putting the whole thing together and it just doesn't really work out. Inevitably, I miss a step or do something wrong and I got to go back to find the instructions. And so when we pray, it's as if we are saying, God, I've tried to do this on my own and I just can't do it. I need your help, okay? And listen, that's almost the reason why sometimes praying together with your spouse isn't always easy. And the truth is, many of us are proud, independent people. And our default is just to sort of go at it on our own. Like, God, I got this. I can't depend on any you or anybody else. I'll take it on my own. And sometimes we can even resist praying together with our spouse because we're insecure or we're afraid to pray out loud. But I want you to listen to this quote from a pastor named Tim Chester. I love the way he says it. He says, "Jesus says that prayer is like a child asking her father for help. Simple as that. I can't overstate how important this is. So many books and talks on prayer make prayer a discipline that we need to work on so that we can become good prayers. And prayer then becomes something that we achieve. But it's not. Prayer is a child asking her father for help because she knows she needs that help and she knows that her father who loves her can deliver it." I love that. So how can you take a step with regard toward praying together with your spouse? First thing I want to encourage you with is to make a 1 week commitment and stick to it. Make a 1 week commitment and stick to it. And this commitment is to take a few moments each day. It doesn't have to be long. It can just be a couple of minutes, 2 or 3, 4 or 5 minutes. It doesn't have to be long. Just to come together and pray. And once that week finishes, make another 1 week commitment and keep it going. All right? If you miss a day, no worries. Don't let that stop your momentum. Just pick it up the next day. The second thing I want to say is keep it simple. Keep it simple. It's easy to get overwhelmed and to give up. And you can certainly pray for more than this, but maybe a good place to start is just to focus on three things. Just three things to pray for. Something for your spouse, something for yourself, and something for your marriage. And so it could look like this. My wife's name is Jen, and so I might pray something like this. Father, would you help Jen this week as school gets back into session, help her to care for students and other families really well? And Lord, for me, would you help me this week? I've got some big things coming up at work. Would you help me to do those things really well? And finally, Lord, would you help us in our marriage? Help us to listen to each other. Help us to love one another well with our words. Help us to speak in kind and loving words. Amen. It's pretty simple, right? Praying together with your spouse isn't that hard. And it can really move the needle in your marriage. And another powerful rhythm that can move the needle in your marriage is having a regular date night together. All right, so we talked about praying together. Now we're talking about a regular date night together. Now, here's the truth. You can search every page of this book and you're not gonna find the words date night in here, okay? You're just not gonna find it. But what you will find in lots of different places is a portrait, a picture of a marriage that provides companionship, romance, and love. right at the very beginning of the Bible, when God was creating the world and everything in it, he created man, and then he said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I'll make a helper fit for him. Okay? And so God had made Adam, and now he makes Eve, that she can be his partner, his companion. They can go through life together. And listen, this relationship of marriage isn't just to be like a relationship of utility or a relationship of productivity. Instead, God designed it to be a relationship of love, of romance. How many of you guys have ever read a book in the Bible called The Song of Solomon? Couple of you? Yeah, good. Okay. You talk about a book in the Bible that is full of romance and sizzle. That is Song of Solomon. I want to read one little excerpt, and this is kind of written in the format of a conversation between a husband and a wife, or between a man and a woman who are deeply in love with each other. I want you to listen to what they say. This is these first words are for the words of the woman. She says, while the king was on his couch, my nard, like her perfume, my nard gave forth its fragrance. My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh that lie between my breasts. My beloved is to me a cluster of henna blossoms in the vineyard of En Gedi. And then the man responds, behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves. Whew, I mean, that's some sizzle. That's some romance. That's in God's word. It's part of the way he designed it to be. But sometimes in our relationship, having a regular date night to enjoy that sizzle, to enjoy that romance can be tough. It takes a lot of work to plan a date night. And if you've got kids, you've got to find a babysitter. We'll talk some more about that. Talk some more about this in just a moment. But sometimes if you're in a place in your marriage where you're feeling unloved, where things are hard, or there's lots of hurt or broken trust, we can wonder, hey, what good is it going to do to go on a date anyway? And honestly, my answer to that is it can do a lot of good. It can do a lot of good. Being intentional about planning a time to go and ask your spouse, hey, I've made some plans. We're going to go out this week. Would you be interested in doing that? Can just demonstrate how much you value that person. Going out together, even in the midst of a tough season, going on a date, doing something fun, can remind you of why and how you fell in love in the first place. Okay? So what's a good step to take? What's a good step to take with regard to a date night together? First of all, I want to encourage you to put some work into it. Put some work. Listen, I know you guys, all right? I know when you were first getting to know each other, when you were first dating, you would make all sorts of plans. You would create a special night. You would write little notes. You put a lot of work into it. And somehow, after you got married, I mean, this doesn't happen for everybody, but a lot of times, all that creativity can just sort of go out the window, right? I want to encourage you to call back to some of that creativity and put some work into making a really special night together. Listen, it doesn't have to be expensive. One of the very best dates Jen and I had was when I spent like $15 on a little picnic dinner. We went to a park. There was a Little League baseball team playing. We had a great conversation, and we still talk about that date even today, years later. Another way to take a step on having a date night together with your spouse is to get into a rhythm. Get into a rhythm. Instead of just going on one night out on some random day, find sort of a rhythm. It could be once a week, every night, every Thursday night, or it could be every once a month or something like that. It could be you plan one date and then your spouse plans the next date, and then you trade it back and forth. I know of one couple that has as their goal to try a new restaurant for every letter of the alphabet in 1 year's time. Okay? I think that's a great idea. What that does, it really builds oneness when you can get into one of those date night rhythms. It builds a sense of connection, and that can really move the needle in your marriage. All right? We've talked about praying together. We've talked about date nights together. The final thing is I want to talk about having a weekly check-in. a weekly check-in with your spouse. And you know, I suppose this can happen in all kinds of ways, but it's crazy how two people who live in the same house, who sleep in the same bed, can drift in your marriage. And you can get to the place where you've lost a solid connection with your spouse. Jen and I have been married for 28 and a half years, and there have been seasons in our marriage when people would ask me, hey, how's Jen? How's she feeling about going back to school? And I'm like, you know, I'm not sure I actually know. I have to kind of guess at how she's really feeling. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. We had lost connection. By contrast, with God's design for marriage, he's picturing a husband and wife who are closely bonded with one another, who have a oneness, an intimacy with one another, where they kind of are tracking with each other. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 tells husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. Literally, that means to live with her according to what you know or your knowledge of her. This isn't a verse specific to marriage, but over in Philippians chapter 2, Paul encourages us, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And guys, I want you to look at that verse. Can you imagine how amazing your marriage would be if you and your spouse were both living out that verse? That would be amazing. And yet for a wife to do that, she's got to know what her husband is going through. For a husband to do that, he's got to know what she is going through. Drift like this can happen to all of us. And a great way to work against that is to have a weekly check-in. So how do you do it? It's pretty simple. First of all, I know that it says weekly check-in. It doesn't have to be weekly. That's just a kind of a way to describe it. I know couples who have a conversation like this a couple times a week or maybe once a month. Find a good rhythm that works for you and keep it up. Another way to have a good weekly check-in is just have some great questions that you can ask together. I'm going to put a couple up on the screen. Yeah, perfect. You might want to take a picture of that. There are lots of good check-in questions. And again, you don't have to ask every single one of these, but it's a good idea to choose a couple of questions that will help set up a good conversation with your spouse. And then listen, here's probably the most important ingredient to having a good weekly check-in with your spouse. All right, you know what it is? You got to listen. You got to listen. Asking a great question is no good if you're not prepared to listen to the response. So make it your goal to love your spouse well by listening. And you might even make it part of your rhythm together to kind of repeat back what you heard from your spouse so you can be sure you're understanding it correctly and be sure that you can remember what they say. Guys, these things, praying together, date nights, weekly check-ins, they can really help move the needle in your marriage. They can get you unstuck, help you move in the right direction. But listen, I know, I want to acknowledge that all of these things, praying, date nights, weekly check-ins, these things are hard to do if you find yourself in a spot in your marriage where you're feeling unloved or where resentments have built up or where trust has been broken. It's almost like these are the last things that you want to be doing. But what I want you to hear me say is this, that along with the rest of the Re-Engage curriculum, these are the things that you need to be doing to get you from where you are in your marriage to where you want to be in your marriage. All right? It's just that simple. If I wanted to get in shape, if I wanted to run a half marathon, there's some things that I've just got to do to get from where I am to be able to reach that goal. And sometimes doing those things, I honestly don't feel like doing them because they're kind of painful or they're kind of hard to do, all right? And so I just want to encourage you that these things are really necessary. None of us would go to IKEA and buy a table or a dresser and then just leave it in the box, right? We wouldn't do that. The idea is to take it home, open it up, follow the instructions, put it together, and enjoy it. In like fashion, God has given us a marriage to be a blessing and to be a joy. He's also given us some instructions. Now it's our opportunity to do a little bit of work so that we can build something that's worth enjoying. All right? Would you please pray with me? Father, thank you for your word that gives us wisdom and instruction on how to live and how we can enjoy this blessing of marriage that you've given to us. Help each one of us to take a step toward greater oneness and intimacy this week by putting some of what we've heard tonight into practice. I pray, God, for even for those folks in here who are in just a tough, tough spot, I pray that you would help them to take even a baby step toward that oneness or toward that fulfilling kind of relationship that you desire for them to have. Would you help them in that moment? Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus, your son. We ask all these things in his name. Amen.